I never thought I'd get into using my phone to take pictures, but I have, and I'm hooked. And like hundreds of millions of other users, I post some of my pics to social media. All those posts, though, leave a digital trail, which means somebody probably knows what I did, when I did it, and where I went. Scary enough to think the NSA's got my number, but when you use your devices while traveling abroad, well, your potential exposure grows along with the number of foreign agencies involved. Still, there are ways to outfox the spooks. Julia Angwin with ProPublica spent the last year doing just that. She chronicles her adventure in a new book, Dragnet Nation.
So the challenge with going abroad as a U.S. citizen is that once I leave the protection of the U.S., I'm actually more at risk for other nations to try to surveil me technologically. And also, the NSA can now surveil me. So we've seen that from the Snowden documents that they do these huge dragnets, both domestically but also primarily overseas. And so they necessarily catch anyone from the U.S. who's over there.
So practically when you go overseas, do you have to take like different gear with you to kind of be aware of who's watching you?
I go overseas with what I call zero data. So I do bring gear, but I bring no data. So I bring a clean computer that has nothing on it. And then I also bring a iPod Touch, but it's not a – I don't have a phone. And so I'm sort of unreachable when I'm over there. But I feel safer.
What, how do you stay clean, though? If you've got this laptop that you get kind of like wiped before you go, at some point you're going to start putting data in it. Won't they eventually know that, well, you're in Lithuania or wherever?
Yeah. Well, the problem is that it doesn't stay clean for very long. So it's not a very good solution. To be honest, it's a very marginal solution.
What about border zones? Because we know these stories of people's laptops being seized. Can border guards actually do that?
Yeah, they can. So there's an exception to the Fourth Amendment for the border. So basically that means that usually under the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, you would need some reason to search a person. Usually that means probable cause. But at the border, you can search for any reason. So people can be pulled aside and their electronics can be taken and copied entirely. And this happens pretty regularly at the border for any reason whatsoever. So another reason that I like to go zero data across borders is I want to make sure that upon my return, no data will be taken off of my computer.
Did you find yourself relying on a lot of analog tools like the old paper address book?
I did, actually. I did feel like I had to rely more on paper, although that also could be seized at the border, but you don't have to worry about some remote spyware being installed on your paper
right.
address book.
What about the truth behind some workarounds to the surveillance? You know, stories of putting your smartphone in a freezer to stop surveillance or removing the batteries to mitigate the spying. Any truth to that?
Yeah, you can definitely. I mean, putting your phone in a freezer or taking out the battery is essentially disabling your phone. So once you disable your phone and it can't connect to the cell towers, you're off the grid. You know, the problem is you can't use your phone, right? So this is like, once again, you know, that is a strategy that's pretty extreme. So I did use a bag where I put my phone in this sort of metal lined bag that blocks the signal. So that way, when I'm not using it and I'm in transit, there's no reason for anyone to know where I am. But when I want to use it, I have to take it out of the bag.
So like if I wanted to do the same thing, a piece of Reynolds wrap around my phone, that would work?
Yeah, I did try that. I spent a day with my phone wrapped in aluminum foil. It does work, but it makes you feel like a crazy person. So every time I got to a new place where I wanted to check my phone, I'd be at a meeting or something, I'd sort of surreptitiously unwrap the tin foil.
Yeah.
People would look at me like I was a nutcase. Yeah. And so that's why I decided to upgrade and pay for the fancy metal-lined bag. That makes me look a little less crazy.
Julia, what are your thoughts about the recent news from the Snowden leaks that Britain's version of the NSA, the GCHQ, was spying on millions of video chats on Yahoo and grabbing images of those chats? Has it made you stay away from all manner of video conferencing, whether it's Skype or anything else?
I was already basically not doing too much video conferencing for concerns about this issue and others. But I think what it shows is what we're learning from all of the cumulative effect of all these Snowden revelations is that these spy agencies will take whatever they can get, right? So if they can get all the webcam chat videos, they'll take it. And they don't even need to know why they want it. They just want it in case they need it later. There's like a hoarding kind of mentality to these intelligence agencies. And the problem is technology allows them to get pretty much everything. Mm. So, you know, we have to figure out whether in this new world where technology can enable this massive surveillance, do we want to rein in these agencies in some way, or are we willing to live with them having it all in case they need it?
Yeah, that is the big question. Julia Angwin is with ProPublica. Her new book is called Dragnet Nation. Julia, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
And you can read the first chapter of Julia's book at PRI.org. By the way, I also asked her if any of this applies to world leaders who presumably have pretty sophisticated encryption technology available to protect themselves. Julia's answer was, yeah, they're vulnerable too.
What we've seen leads me to believe that if they want you, they're going to get you. Because boy, do they have a lot of tools in their arsenal.